Ireland entered into its first lockdown on March 12, 2020, after the arrival of COVID-19 to our shores. With it came the closure of bars and music venues across the country, and ground to a halt the Irish live music industry, affecting thousands of musicians. This 10-part documentary series will tell the stories of 10 such musicians. Some will have had to completely adapt how they perform in a new virtual era, whilst for others they found their services became even more important. Each story is unique and compelling and shows where their love of music began and the resilience of the East Cork music community. After 2 years of lockdowns and restrictions, a new live music landscape has emerged. So can the grassroots musicians of a community filled with musical talent bounce back from the day the music died. Martin Baylor is one of East Cork's best known musicians. A vocalist, guitarist and keyboard player with a repertoire spanning across blues, rock, contemporary and pop.
My uncle Tom Baylor in Fermoy, he has a music shop, and I suppose my parents asked me, from what I can remember, would I like to play an instrument as a young kid, from what I can remember, and I said, okay, I'll try the guitar. I got lessons from a woman called Joan Butler. I haven't seen sight nor sound ever since, but the lessons took place in Minnie's, which is now a creche, I think, down at the bottom of Cork Hill. It was 10 lessons for £20, and that was in 1984, I think, 83, 84. I was about 8 or 9 years of age. Any Song was the first song I ever learned on the guitar. So that was it, done the lessons. And I actually put the guitar away. I didn't touch it for about 2 years. Just grand. I was never pressured at home. I picked it up one day and I started, God, what's D again? What's A again? I can't remember. You know. Oh, yeah, that sounds right. And I just kept going and kept going. And I'd learned songs from back in the day. We would have cassette tapes. We'd know CD players. So I'd tape it off the radio, as you do. And then I just press play and, you know, that's how I learned stuff. And then I got a CD player as technology progressed, and I was able to learn stuff. And that's really, I just taught myself after that. I didn't get lessons after those 10, except I'd go and watch people, and I'd always try and learn something off everybody I watched. And I just kept going and kept going and kept going. And that's how you learn.
There are places I remember all my life, and some have changed. Some forever, not for better. Some have gone, and some remain. All these places have their moments. With lovers and friends, I still can recall. Some are dead and some are living. In my life, I love them.
I went through school and I got to the end of school and I said, what am I going to do? I didn't know. So I went and I did a course up in Stiffoniff in Cork. It was for sports and leisure recreation management, and I did it for about a year and a half, and I didn't finish it out. And during that course, you're sent out on work experience. So I got sent to Spridnave in Bishopstown to school. I says, right lads, do a few laps there, warm up, you know, see how you go. And so while they were doing that, I was they were singing something to me. I had no interest in this. Like, I says, you know, I'm cheating me and I'm cheating them. This isn't what I want to do. Did a few odd jobs here and there. I was a store detective in Marks and Spencer's for a while. I worked in pubs, different things. And in 1997, I going in around the pubs in Yall, playing the sessions, falling in, you know, just bringing me guitar and just edging me away in with people, you know what I mean? 1994 was the busking. I was working in the Hilltop. I got fired that weekend. And I went into the Clock Tavern, and I met, for the first time in 94, Kieran McCarthy, Paul McCarthy, Michael O'Connell, all these guys. I had seen them playing in the Grip, Drums and Wires. I had gone to watch them. because I'm a wee bit younger than them. And I'd seen them playing on the back of a lorry outside Perks or someplace or downtown. And I actually asked the boys, lads, can I sing a song? And that was their first time ever meeting me. And we're friends ever since. And about two, 3 years later, we kept talking about it and kept talking about it. Lads, can we put a band together, you know what I mean? So in 1998, long story short, it was me, Kieran McCarthy on drums and Michael Toomey on bass, and that was the Bow Gators. And I packed up MCM security in Cork and I just went full-time at this. I did a back-to-work scheme, so it's kind of a four-year thing. So you're getting your dole, basically. And you can go gigging, totally legit. And about 8 months into that, then myself and Michael O'Connell, we decided we were going to go to Greece for the summer in 1999. And it was just party, party, party for the whole summer. Playing 7 nights a week, 3 hours a night, from 9 till 12, from 12 o'clock to night's yours, you're getting home at 8 in the morning. But we had a great time, absolutely fabulous. I got back in 2000, and I fell in, sorry, 1999, at the end of the summer, with a wedding band, Fatal Attraction, from I. They were just pure chance. I planned to go back to Zakynthos, and this job came up in the paper, and I actually knew the guy who was the keyboard player, so we met, and I joined that band, and I stayed there for about a year and a half, maybe. And at the age that I was, maybe, what was I then, I was 24, maybe 25, the wedding stuff, it wasn't for me. I wanted to play rock and roll. So I joined out of that band and I formed another band, and I just kept doing that for the next few years. Back with Kieran McCarthy, and Paul McCarthy actually was in the next band, Jericho and Mick Toomey, and that evolved into the Vinyls. We don't need no education. I left in 2017 because I joined Gem and the Jets in Cork City, who I'm still with. And if I could, I'd build a wall around old Donegal, north and south to keep them out. By God, I'd build a tall casino. I've really got this hankering, I can't get it out of my head, for a song called Solitary Man. It's written by Neil Diamond, but it's Johnny Cash's version. You should listen to it. It's fabulous. I can't stop playing it at the moment, the gigs. Melinda was mine till the time that I found her, holding Jim, loving him. And Sue came along, loved me strong, that's what I thought. Me and Sue, yeah, that died too. Don't know that I will, but until I can find a girl who'll stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am. Solitary man, solitary man. I've had it to hear, hearing love as a small word, a part-time thing, a paper ring. I know it's been done, having just one girl to love me, right or wrong, weak or strong. Don't know that I will, but until I can find me a girl who'll stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am. Solitary man, solitary.
Solitary man.
I mean, I was watching the news like everybody else. I mean, we were the first sector to be shut down. Gone. Good luck. Job gone. All we could do, and all every musician that I know did, was get down to the office and get your PUP form. And that's what I did, same as everybody else. Got that sorted. We didn't know we were going to go. It was just a blind alley. Leo said 2 weeks, then it was 2 months. And all of a sudden, it was 6 months and we were down the line. And I said, I'm going to have to try and do something. Do I have to go busking? Do something, like. But what I did start doing, I started doing gigs online on Facebook every Saturday night. And that kept me going, to be quite honest with you.
Good evening. How are you doing, lads? I'm going to play a few songs for you to break up the monotony of this thing. I'll try and get through as many as I can, the time allotted. Send in your requests, lads. Don't be afraid to throw something in, just in case I forgot about you.
For the first 6 weeks, remember the very first night doing it, like, I mean. I'm holding a camera up, by the way, or a phone here in the studio. This is what I had in front of me, like that. And I'm playing away, and I'm not feeling this at all. Like, this is just alien, totally alien. And I kept it going, did one a week for about 4 weeks. And I said it to Sarah, I says, I don't think I'll bother anymore. This, I'm not digging it at all. This, I'm not feeling it. And she said, keep going. She told me to keep going. She says, go on, keep. There's people with nothing to do on a Saturday night and they're tuning into you. Do you know what I mean? I was tuning into Steve Whelan, I was tuning into Jordan Matthias in Canada, tuning into Randy Welborn, all these people that I've met. And I was watching them, they were watching me, we were all keeping each other going. It was brilliant. So I kept it going, and slowly it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and before I knew it, I mean, there was, I think the most amount of comments, there was about 13 or 1400 comments on one of my lives one night. It was usually about 700 or 800. I think that was the record. But that's people talking amongst themselves, not necessarily talking to me as well, and I'm talking back to them, but I can see what they're saying, what they're writing. And then they start talking amongst themselves as well. You know, hi Mary, how are you? Ah, too bad, Joe. You know, how are things in Oklahoma? That's success the way it was. It was brilliant. Superb.
You got a best car. I wanted to get to anywhere. Maybe we can make it.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and what it did was it we made friends with so many people on Facebook. Especially, I have to shout them out, a lot of people in Canada. We know hundreds, I mean, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of people in Canada know, and they've clicked on. People in America, Australia, people from Yale who are living abroad. Eileen O'Reilly is a perfect example. She's living in near Las Vegas, Nevada, from Yale originally. She's a nurse. She used to click on religiously every Saturday night. She even brought me into work with her one Saturday night, she said, and they allowed her to play me through the speakers in the hospital. No, that's something. People did different things that worked for me, and it was invariably a success. You set up the kitchen, it took me about an hour every Saturday night because you have to move things around. People don't see this. You know, they just click on and see you with a guitar, and you have to move furniture and you have to put microphones, and it sounded loud in the room, but what it really was that, like, this microphone here, I know the people listening can't see what I'm talking about, a microphone here, about an inch behind, about 2 inches behind it, was a speaker, would say, that big. So, it's right here. The neighbours are here, they never complain, but it sounds loud, but you don't really have to have it too loud. It's the phone is here. The phone's here. I'm in front of it, and there's your speaker. You got to plug everything in, your mixing desk, your floorboard, microphones, and you got to get the camera right, lights, everything. You know, there's a lot more goes into that people don't see, and people can just click on, and we went crazy with it. We really did. I mean, I think the record was 8.5 hours. I know, it's mental. I mean, that's starting at 10 o'clock, and that's 5:30 a.m. That was the longest. It was usually about 4 hours, maybe 5 hours, every Saturday night.
Good night, God bless. Thank you very much indeed. All the best.
You know, it's COVID has so many bad sides to it, but this is one thing. You know, there's a silver lining in every cloud. I know, you know what a cliche is. Well, this is definitely one. because I'd never even looked at Facebook to do a gig. I wouldn't have had to, but just go to the pub and play, you know. I've met so many musicians and so many people over Facebook, over these Facebook lives. I've seen them play. They've seen me play. I've seen loads. And I never would have known they existed. They wouldn't know I existed before COVID. That's the beauty of it, you know. And we're all friends now. When we private message some of them, we have a laugh and a joke. There's some of them are really, really big, huge, still at it. I mean, frequently they do it 3, 4, 5 times a week, you know. And I click on and I say, you know, Sandy Stewart, he's in Edinburgh in Scotland. Hey man, how you doing? You know, blah blah blah. Jordan was on the other night in Barrie in Ontario. Clicked on him for a while. How you doing? Just to keep in touch, you know what I mean. But I'd never known these people, and they would never have known me. Only for COVID. It's good exposure, and you know, if you want to look at it from that perspective. But I mean, even people who aren't musicians, I've met so many people over music fans, or people who just enjoy music. They had nothing to do on a Saturday night. They can't go to the pub. They can't go outside the door. I mean, when the third lockdown was the toughest, that was hard. When we were locked down and we couldn't move, like, that's all we had was the online stuff. And that got people, they got us through it, and we got them through it.
I was 18 when they came to town. They call it the summer of love. Burning babies, burning flags, the hawks against the doves. I took a job at the steaming way down Caltrum Street, and I fell in love with the laundry girl that was working next to me. Brown hair zigzagged around her face, and a look of half surprise. Like a fox caught in the headlights, there was animal in her eyes. She said to me, oh, can't you see, I'm not the factory kind. And if you don't take me out of here, I'll lose me mind. But she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing. So fine a breath of wind might blow her away. She was a lost child, she was running wild. She said, as long as there's no price on love, I'll stay. You wouldn't want me any other way. We busked around the market towns, fruit picking down in Kent. We could tinker pots and pans and knives wherever we went. We were camping down the Gower one time, and the work was mighty good. She wouldn't wait for the harvest, I thought we should. I said to her, we'll settle down and get a few acres dug, with a fire burning in the hearth and daddy's on the rug. She said to me, you foolish man, that surely sounds like hell. You might be lord of half the world, you not own me as well. She was a rare thing, fine bee's wing. So fine a breath of wind might blow her away. She was a lost child, she was running wild. She said, as long as there's no price in love, I'll stay. You wouldn't want me any other way. We were drinking more in those days, and the tempers reached a pitch. Like a fool, I let her run away when she took the rambling hitch. And the last I heard, she was living rough, packing the Derby beat, with a bottle of White Horse in her pocket, a wolfhound at her feet. They said that she got married once to a man called Romany Brown. Even the gypsy caravan was too much like settling down. They say her roses faded, rough weather and hard booze. Maybe that's the price you pay for the chains that you refuse. But she was a rare thing, fine as a bee's wing. And I miss her more than ever words can say. I could just taste all of her wildness now, if I could hold her in my arms today. I wouldn't want her any other way. A rare thing, fine as a bee's wing. So fine a breath of wind might blow her away. She was a lost child, she was running wild.
As long as there's no price on love, I'll stay. I wouldn't want her any other way.
Remember, it was 2020, so it was around, you know, kind of, it was April, May, June of 21 that the pubs opened again for a while. They left it go, and you know, we got bits and pieces of two-piece work. There was no weddings. There was no, because like, I mean, you could have five at your wedding and all that nonsense that went on. So they weren't happening with Gem and the Jets, but I was getting like little two-piece work here with people. It's just the odd job. You might get one every second week or one a month if you're lucky. That's just right. Things might be opening up again. And then they close it all up again, and we were gone until, what, March this year? Is it that when they decided to let us work again? Right, lads, on you go. So you more or less have to tear out the page and start your diary again, because everything was gone. Rip your diary up 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago, March 2020. Just rip it up, because you don't know when you're going to get back, you know. It was like any other gig. I can't lie and say it was, you know. No, it wasn't really. It was great to be out and see people, and people were going crazy in the pubs, like they were going crazy on the drink, and you know. But like, to me, it was just another gig. To just do your 2 hours, do your job, and go home. You know what I mean? But it was nice to be back.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. This moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life you were only waiting for this moment to be. To the light of the dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life you were only waiting for this moment to be free. To the light of the dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
The pubs aren't the same since pre-COVID. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when we're back, I mean, it was you to sit at your table, and table service and all this kind of stuff. Like, I mean, and it was that was a bit alien, a bit weird. Same atmosphere wasn't there before. People were watching themselves. You have to put on your mask, go into the toilet, and you can't go to the bar. You can have music, but you have to have. We were basically fenced off from. They can't come within 6 feet of you. This kind of stuff, so many precautions. I know people had to take precautions. I get it, I understand it. They were the rules and regulations. It wasn't the same, and, you know, you just had to put up with it, really. Y'all, and I can equate an undertone that I know very well, Cove is the same. For the size of population per square head, the amount of musicians, if you spit in y'all, you'll hit a musician. You know what I mean? They're everywhere, and there was always a rich vein of musicians. There is loads of them, tons of them. There's great talent in this town. And it's good to see there's youngsters as well. We're not going to be doing it forever. There's young lads, the likes of Jordan Keneally and Dara Lee and fellas like that. And there's new young fellas coming up now as well. And they're interested it's being kept alive, and that's the most important thing. We're spoiled in this town. Cove's the same, and I know all of them, trust me, the older generation, we'll say. There's young fellas down there, I'm sure, coming up as well, but Cove is swamped as well. I don't know, to be quite honest. I mean, I suppose people always need music. I mean, there's all, but like we'll say, going back to the, you've got the Pipe Band here in Cork Hill, you know what I mean? There was always an interest in music. If they're going to pick up a set of bagpipes, they might pick up a guitar as well. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying they started it, but they certainly went a long way to keeping the music alive in this town. The Brass and Reed Band, I was sad to see that close. It was there for a few years. So there was always some sort of music. You know, you could take up something and you'd pick up a guitar, guitar lessons and, you know, schools and stuff. There was always an interest in music in town, and there was always people who'd encourage their kids or their cousins or whoever, you know, someone close to them, right, you have a go. Do you know what I mean? We all kept it going. It's a small circle, and it's, some people don't realise that. Musicians don't realise that, is what I'm saying. It's a very small circle. If, you know, you have to help each other out. You have to be there for each other. Do you know what I mean? Because you'll need them, they'll need you. That's the way it works. The mindset is the same everywhere. I mean, we all know, even Jim and the Jets in the city with the band I'm in, I know all the other wedding bands in Cork, and they know us, you know, and if we're stuck. I put me back out now playing golf 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't able to do a wedding with Jim and the Jets 2 weeks ago, and we got a dip in for me from another wedding band in Cork City to fall in. I've fallen in with wedding bands in Cork City when their guitar player has been sick. You know, so it's you know, we're all working then. And we'll help each other out. That's what, you have to be like that. Well, there's two things people will always need. They'll always need to be fed and watered, and they'll always need music. Always. And if you have music, it's the best passport in the world that you'll ever have. You can go anywhere. Anywhere with music. Sit down and start playing. You won't go hungry.
I hold you in my heart as the band plays, but all those words whispered, baby, just as you turn away. Saw you last night out on the edge of town. I wanna read your mind and know just what I've got in this new thing I've found. Tell me what I see when I look in your eyes. Is that you, baby? You're just a brilliant disguise. I heard somebody call your name from underneath our willow. I feel something touching strange underneath your pillow. But I cried so hard, baby, and I just can't see what a woman like you is doing with me. Tell me what I see. Come the wee wee hours, maybe baby the gypsy tell me what I see. Better look hard and look twice. Is it me? Baby, you're just a brilliant disguise. Tonight our bed is cold, lost in the darkness of our love. God have mercy on the man who doubts who he's sure of.
The Day the Music Died was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland under Sound and Vision programming to support the live music sector.